Why are we here? Sounds like a foolish question to be asked almost until I began to elaborate. But is it just tradition? Is it because we've just kind of done it habitually now for some time? Did we just get up this morning and say, okay, I guess I feel pretty good. I'm going to go to church. Is it because I thought about my neighbors and I thought, well, they know that I'm a Christian and thus I want them to see that I'm going to church, you know. Is that why we're here? During our lectureship, March or May, April, rather. I mean, I guess right before that or a week or two before, it'd be good for us to talk, have a church talk and maybe encourage all of us to make sure that we put that Saturday aside and we're ready to come together. And how often do I have to attend? Do I have to go on Sunday morning at Bible class? Do I really have to come back in the evening or today, 1 o'clock? What about Wednesday night? Is that a mandatory thing? You mean you're going to say God's going to say that I'm not faithful because I don't attend Wednesday? I understand that questions that I've just posed are pretty personal and sometimes controversial. And I know that a lot of reasons could be given. And it's not going to be something I'm going to do every Sunday. But I do want today for us to maybe lay the cards out on the table and see where we are. And why is there a difference in Sunday morning worship and Sunday night or Wednesday night attendance? Is there really a reason why we need to be here at all services? Is it because the elders say, okay, that's what we've done and that's what we feel like need to be done and that's what we're going to do? Or is there really some valid thoughts from this book that we should explore and understand? Noel read for us a minute ago what I believe to be powerful words from Hebrews chapter 10. And you notice verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart. Verse 23, let us hold fast our faith. Verse 24, let's consider one another and provoke one another into love and good works. And then verse 25, there's that verse that some people kind of snarl up at and say, you know, I wished it wasn't even in there. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as the matter some are, but rather exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For, and then he begins to explain. Right after saying, not forsaking, he says, for if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there's no more sacrifice for our sins. And then two verses right after he says, not forsaking the assembling, he says, a certain fearful looking of judgment and standing before God. In verse the next verse, and it's going to be even more punishment because some have trodden underfoot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant as an unholy thing. And then the next verse, and we know that the Lord says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And then he tells us it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. If that was the only passage that we had, if that was the only cause that we had to even examine this subject, those words give me terror. If I'm a child of God, if I have been born again, if I represent Christ to the world, then I hear those things and I think, boy, I can't miss. Oh, I know there's sickness. I know there's recovery from surgeries. I know that there's times that we have to take care of one another, physically and all. But there's other reasons. Please listen to my heart. I'm not trying to beat anyone up. I'm not trying to be hurtful. And I just want to appeal to you. Why are we here? Is it just to kind of soothe our conscience and say, okay, I want to go to church enough to where I'm convinced myself that God's going to make a special case of me and that's going to be all right, I'm going to get to go to heaven? He demands more than that. Our God has said some things that are powerful, and you can't just go to heaven on a half-hearted, I think my name is on the roll there at church, and I'll go when it's maybe possible. Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. Jesus said, you cannot love father or mother more than me, or even son or daughter more than me, and be my disciple. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Well, if I were to seek him first, what would I be doing? But here I am working at a job, and well, I treat that job a little bit different than I do going to church. I treat maybe going to recreational activities different than when I make a decision on, am I going to church? I realize going to church is not even a correct way to say it. We are the church. We go to worship. We go to praise him. But here's several reasons. If I were to open this book and maybe just kind of wander through the New Testament, let's see, I can turn over to Matthew 18. And in verse 20, I hear, where two or more gather together in my name, there am I in the midst. First thing I want to say about this matter is Jesus is here. Do I want Jesus to come and meet with the church at Cedar Grove and me not be there? I mean, I realize he has never forsaken an assembly when this church comes together. He's here. I don't see him, you say. Well, he's not here in flesh and blood, but he's here. But then I add to that, okay, if I look at myself and I think about myself and who I am, and I now have made a decision some time ago to become a Christian, do I want to just stay like I am at that time as a babe in Christ? Surely we know that we can't do that. We want to go on to perfection. We want to press toward the mark of the prize, to draw a couple of phrases out of Scripture. I realize that the Bible tells us about that we can fall away. We can, as I read in Hebrews 10, we can crucify the Son of God afresh. That means no longer be faithful in the sight of God. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 tells us that indeed we've got to work against falling away. Falling away usually doesn't take place in one step. It's a gradual thing. We start missing a little bit and then missing more and then maybe only coming on Sunday morning when we feel like it. Second reason that I need to put a priority on this is I become stronger. I'm made stronger when I'm here. I don't care who's in the pulpit. I don't care who teaches a class. If we're studying the Bible and Bible class, you're going to be made stronger. If you weren't here last hour, personally, I've got to tell you, you missed something. Not because Paul taught the class, but Paul taught what the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 6 that really relates to us, and we should have heard if we didn't. And if I hope that we took it to heart. And if we did, I was made stronger, drawing nearer to God, becoming more what he wants me to be and making myself more fit for heaven every single moment. And when I'm stronger, I can help bear the burdens of life better. I can endure the temptations of Satan better. The trials that slam at me so many times, I'm stronger because I've been with Christ. He was here and my brothers and sisters in that precious fellowship together. So I am made stronger, but not when I'm home. And let me interject this. I'm glad we're streaming our services, but let's make sure we don't abuse that. Yes, it's great for those that are sick and cannot come. And I know it's being used by some in that way, but let's make sure that we don't use that as a crutch and not meeting together with the saints like the Bible says. Let me throw out another thought. In Ephesians 5, we read about God presenting his glorious body, the church. And we are that body. We are the church. He wants that body to grow. He doesn't want us just to merely come together and say, okay, I've done my due for this week, and I can now go home, and I can be all right and just fine in his sight. He wants us as a body of people to grow and mature. The church grows when we put him first. The church grows when we come together and partake of the Word of God. The growth of the church can help us as we are more passionate for our souls and the value of the soul and the soul of others. And I'm going to grow in trying to be even more evangelistic and trying to encourage one another, and even trying to help those that are less fortunate. You see, I'm growing in that. Not when I'm home, but when I'm here. Another reason. Whether you know it or not, you're setting an example. You have a powerful influence. It's either going to be for good or bad. I want myself to do what will always be something that my children, grandchildren, or even those that are not even my biological children, my next door neighbors and my friends, and or even total strangers, I want them to see that on Sunday, that's the Lord's Day. And I'm going to be there for Bible study and for worship and for worship again. And I'm even going to be there midweek or during a gospel meeting or a lectureship or whatever time. I want to be a good example. I want to make sure that people know I'm with Christ, not against him. I want them to know that I'm on the Lord's side, not Satan's. You see, when I neglect the service, my influence is actually a vote to close the church. Not even have worship anymore. If everybody were like me, that's my what be would be what would happen. I mentioned Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and let me just throw this out. If everybody were here when you are here, would we even have a gospel meeting ever? Would there even be a lectureship? Would there even be a homecoming except for Sunday morning? See what kind of influence, power our own example sets, and more for our children than anyone? Let's get down to the emotions for a minute. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do we love him? So, well, yes, Paul, don't you know? I've been coming here now for years and years and years, and but do you love him? Well, yes, I send my contribution even when I'm not there, and I'm but do you love him? You remember that pivotal time when Jesus was talking to Simon Peter? And he asked him, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Jesus asked him again, do you love me, Peter? Yes, Lord, like he was irritated by that time. Why are you even asking me again? The words change, even though it's, do you love me? In the text of the Greek language, Jesus asked him twice, do you love me? The third time he said, Peter, do you like me? The boundless love of Jesus. What Jesus did for us. Folks, we cannot be flippant, haphazard, neglectful about our sacrifice and our worship and our praise of our Lord. It's got to be, seek ye first. I believe it cannot be refuted. One who truly loves God will not ask, do I have to go to church? Do I have to be there for class and for worship? Paul would write to the church at Corinth, the love of God constrains me. It's like a stranglehold. You can't get out of it. When I know how much God loved, for God so loved, I know how much Jesus loved. It was love that held him on the cross. I know the amount that he suffered and the amount that he gave. And I measure up. But you know, it really comes down to just basic elementary facts. Here in Hebrews 10, it says, "For not forsaking." When I look at the church of the first century in Acts 20, verse 7, upon the first day of the week. I can also read in 1 Corinthians 16 how they gave on the first day of the week. But then we're told to grow in grace and knowledge, add to our faith knowledge, and that opportunity is on Wednesday night in gospel meetings and other times. I want to suggest that it comes down to whether or not I really want to obey God. Whether or not I'm taking God serious. In James chapter 4 and verse 17, we're told that to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. In other words, it's not a matter of whether or not my body's hurting. Mine is right now. I can still go. Private conversation, I don't mean to embarrass her, but Snow and I often talk. And Snow mentioned earlier, this wasn't a really good week last week. But she's sitting in her pew. Is that still is beyond going? How many times, how many countless hundreds of times has she been sitting right there in that pew and you knew that It was tough to be here. You know, if we just practice what we do in other things, we want to be safe. We want to be careful. LaDon and I went with Dawn and Al on a trip yesterday, and we were driving through Chattanooga, and it's like Indianapolis 500, cars and trucks all around us, and it was tearing us up almost. But we tried to do the safe thing. We want to be safe. I don't believe that you can argue that it's safe to miss services. I believe we can argue that it is safe to attend every service. But I want to get at your heart a little bit more. What if when you were playing, I just don't feel like it today. I'm going to stay home today. I'm not going to go today. I'd probably go to work this tomorrow, but it's today. Well, what if Christ came back today when you were at home? What if death overtook you today? You see, the whole dynamic of that changes when I begin to think, I hope it won't either. I'd like to think we're going to have a few more days, a few more weeks, months, years in our lives, but we don't have a promise of that at all, and thus the idea of playing it safe. Then I want to close with one final passage. I've used it to myself over and over, and to you too. When Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, in that 15th chapter, when he starts out talking about the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ, and then he talks about our lives and how we're a natural body and a spiritual body, and we've got to make sure and live spiritual lives, and because there's coming that time when the trump shall sound and the voice which shall hear, and the dead in Christ shall raise first. And he closes that chapter with these two verses, verse 57, thanks be to God that giveth us the victory. And then in verse 58, he says, therefore, because of the victory, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Oh, he goes ahead and explains, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's a lot, 10 times more passages. But I believe these 6, 8, 10 thoughts captures it. We're not here because of just habit, tradition. Hopefully and prayerfully, we're here because we love the Lord. We want to prove our love and our loyalty to Him. We want to seek Him first. We want our friends and neighbors sure to see and our influence be good. We want to set an example before our children, our grandchildren, and anyone else that might happen to see us. We want to make sure that Jesus is not alone, but that we're here with Him. You know, there's some sermons that maybe have a lot of opinion. These are not opinions. May God help us to put Him first in our lives and prove to Christ the depth of our love and devotion. Mark's going to lead us in a song. If you need to come to Christ for any reason, to become a Christian or to return to faithful service, won't you come as we stand and sing?